Yo, so first and foremost, I just want to thank Romana and Yodi for sitting down with me. Thank you for the conversation. This is a great, great talk. Maybe one of my favorites of the whole series. You know, in this conversation, we talked about a whole slew of things, including influence versus impact, cooperative economics, dating, politics. We got into some conversation about Africa and Eritrea, being a black American, or as I call it, a nigga American. You know, we definitely talked about our bar and, you know, harassment, entitlement, all types of shit, man. And then most importantly, we got into some conversation about entrepreneurship, what it means to actually be a boss, and then growing and expanding your business. Both Armana and Yodi are entrepreneurs in their own right. Armana has Mbaye Jewelry, and Yodi has Almas Faces, and they're both working on some new projects as well. So, you know, this is a great conversation. It's the second of our Women's History Month series. So, hope that you guys enjoy this as much as I did. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, I just hit record, so the first thing that they're going to hear is you laughing loud as fuck in the ears.
Oh, my God. Sorry, we already started.
Yeah, I just hit record on it.
Damn, me. I wanted to get a glass of wine.
No, go ahead. You know what I mean? Like, this is what I was telling Yodi before you came down, is that the Etc. With series is really, like, I genuinely feel like I have some of the best conversations with people here in the city, and I wanted to just record them. Because, like, I would leave them. I'd be like, damn, I wish more people could hear it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We talking about mad intrigue. I mean, you know.
Our conversations are just...
But
on different levels.
This house needs to be
bugged. No, I'm saying on some real shit.
Talking to the mic like this, Yodi.
Oh, sorry.
Nah, you cool. You're talking like, you know, like you're a rapper or something.
Oh my God, listen, yo, we just started.
That's crazy.
It's too early.
But nah, it's not no format. I don't have like a prepared list of questions or whatever, really. I'm just glad. I appreciate both of y'all. Like, sitting down, I have a conversation on the record. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm grateful for the invite.
Yeah, thank you for providing the space
to
drop some gems and, you know, to eat some carrots with a girl.
Right.
People be so nervous to come on podcasts. I'm like, oh my God, like, what all goes into it? I'm like, bruh.
It's definitely intimidating because you don't know what you're walking into. So I thought you would have a set of questions prepared.
Nah.
Me too.
You know what I mean? All that shit is up here. You know what I mean? But if anybody's listening to this and y'all think that y'all can do it that way, I recommend that you don't, because I'm just a natural conversationalist. And so everybody's not able to go into like a show without a plan or whatever and make that shit compelling and entertaining. So,
right.
Yeah.
It's definitely easier to be transparent.
Yeah.
When you don't have a script.
Exactly. True. And like, you can tell, like, when you're being read to, where it's like, oh, they're about to ask it. So how did you
how was let's talk about how important this topic is right now. Nobody fucking cares about shit like that.
No, let's get into that.
That's very true.
Like, yeah, let's get into this portion right now.
Let's unpack.
Right.
I be tuning that type of shit out, man. Like,
really?
Yeah, I hate it.
Cause it's inauthentic.
Mad inauthentic. You feel me? If I'm gonna sit down and hit play on a conversation and listen to it as I drive around the city or as I'm cleaning up or working on some shit, bro, then don't perform for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That shit's corny. You wouldn't want to talk to somebody that was like that.
And I won't listen.
Yeah.
Because that shit drags on. It's like, oh, this is informational. It's not practical.
Exactly. Yeah. But what I will say, though, is that these podcasts are intentional in that, like, the people that I ask to sit down with me, like, that's all very intentional. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
I think that there's a lot of stories here in Columbus about people that niggas just don't know about. You feel me? Like, for example, the Mbaye, you know what I mean? That you go around. That, I said it right, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you like
say.
You looked at me. I was like,
not listening. Not listening.
Yeah. Like, you know, the Mbaye, like, I was at our bar on Friday. Saturday. I wore my chain that you gave me for my birthday last year. And like, I ran into, like, four or five other people that had it on and shit. I was like, oh, you know, it's like, bruh, I don't know, it's just beautiful. Like, I need to have it and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And to talk to the mind behind it. Yeah. You feel me?
Or, and to know who this
And I'm just a casual bystander at the bar. And that's the thing. And that's what I love about my business, because it's like I don't like to be in the limelight. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have my pieces speak for itself and people. That can be a conversation starter. Mm-hmm. And it usually is for majority of the people that shop with me. Mm. So it's a conversation starter. It's just, it's an icebreaker at the end of the day. But you don't necessarily have to know the artist behind it to appreciate the work.
Have you ever had like anybody like talk shit about it before, and they didn't know that they was talking to?
I haven't. Talk shit about my jewelry?
Yeah.
I haven't. And honestly, people, I've had that question because I have family members that ask me like, yo, do you ever have people that, you know, casual haters, people that, you know, throw shade, but I'm fortunate enough to not have it, but I welcome it too, because I'd rather get your feedback and see where you're coming from. And it's going to just help me level up. Like, I don't take shit personal.
You know, well, I got some shit. No, I'm just joking.
You know what I mean? Like, if you got something to say, like, I'd rather you say it, and then, you know, I can perfect my work.
Was it Friday or Saturday? We went to one of my friends' little event thing.
If you heard this, I am sorry.
But we were there, and it's not a little bit. It was cool. It was mad cozy. East African shindig.
She was fire as fuck. You know what I mean? All the bad women was in there.
You know what I'm saying?
It was pure East Africans. Pure. All shades. Well, I mean, we're fairly three shades, but but
we walk in there, and then I don't think Armand has ever met him, and he was just like, yo, I bought a chain from you. And he was like, I know you don't know who I am, but I already know who you are. And just based on just the fact that all of us always like post each other's work and we're always supporting and stuff, and he knows who she is based on, you know, seeing her on mine or Fev's like Instagram. So he sees it, puts it on, works with like some, you know, other people in our industry or even outside, and they see that, and it's like, oh, where'd you get that from? And it's just like cooperative economics right there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's my favorite word. Bro. That's my theme in 2020, bro. No, cooperative economics. You
literally.
Know,
and see, the thing with me is like in the last 2 years, I've been very intentional about doing that. And of course, we talk about this all the time. And like, everything from what, like, my sweater is, you know,
she's wearing mouth right now.
Right. My chain, the necklace that I got on is in Bayeux. And, you know, I got a hat here that's called A-List Dynasty. It's one of my homeboy's hats. So everything is, like, black owned, and I know where my black dollar is going to.
Yeah. I want to, I think I'm about to start doing, like, some pseudo fast fashion type shit where, like, I just be saying shit and I'm going to put it, like, on a shirt. You know what I mean? One of us going to be like, I'm not a billboard. Type shit, because it's just like that. Every time you go out somewhere, what you're wearing, you know what I mean?
It's very representative of a conversation, and I'm always wearing clothes of people that I know. So I always have some random shit on my shirt, and it's like, oh, where'd you get that from? I like that shirt. And it's like, oh, well, actually, I know the person behind this. So I know where the money's going to, versus like a big, you know, box company that doesn't give a shit about our community. Or how we're like one of the, what, we're like 1.2 trillion, you know, black the black dollar. Consumers. So, but the black dollar stays, what, a couple of hours
and now it's in like our 9 community? Seconds.
You know what I'm saying?
Either 9 seconds or 9 minutes.
It might be minutes.
Well, 9 seconds is what
is very extreme.
So, like, why
my
is
black
it?
Dollars be saying, though, you know what I mean? Like,
but that's the thing. Intention. I eat at black you know, places, restaurants. Yeah. My coffee is not at Starbucks. It's at fucking Uppercut.
Yeah.
So like everywhere I go, Eritrean.
Big ups to my Eritrean people.
I'm eating at a Somali restaurant.
That coffee.
You feel me?
Man, you know, it's an added benefit, and I do want to come back to the Eritrean point too. But that's an added benefit, like having somebody like you that's an influencer. You know, have you?
Am I really an influencer?
Yeah, I'm saying, have you accepted the fact that
absolutely not
that
bro.
People come to you and they
whoa.
So, like halfway through the year last year, like I looked at just all the different shit that I was doing, and I realized, and I'm not saying this to like pat myself on the back or anything like that, but I realized
how much money my word is worth or whatever. Oh, like,
absolutely.
Like, I can literally direct people to go to an event or whatever. Like, yeah. The difference is like hundreds or thousands of dollars sometimes, you know what right. I mean? Mm-hmm. Or if I throw an event, like the local economy, they get stimulated and shit off of it.
Orange you soda.
Yeah. No, bro, like, deadass. Like, this shit really blew my mind when I saw this at an orange soda. It was like one, it was in 2018, maybe 19. Mm-hmm. And like, we were throwing it, and people were running like orange soda specials, whatever, for like their makeup, for like clothing, for like edibles. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, that's crazy. Like, niggas are really making money off of some shit that we just thought up in our head or whatever. You know what I mean? Right. Like, not even associated, affiliated. Yeah. And so, somebody like you who has a lot of eyes, a lot of attention on you. Whatever.
It's awkward.
Is it awkward? Man, that's what I'm asking. Like, have you accepted it?
No,
sure.
I'm not. Then what's funny is people tell me that all the time. And it's so, like, okay, post this. No, they'd be like, yo, support me. Post this. You know, like, everywhere you go, people tend to show up. And I'm just like, I don't know what that means, but I will support you regardless, because that's just the type of person
I mean, you
I
make
am.
It what you want it to mean, honestly.
Yeah.
I feel like the term influencer has a
it
such
makes
a
me very
negative connotation
yeah.
to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you have to make it what it is. You can be a positive, influential influencer.
I want to be impactful.
Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like
an influencer, you're an impactor?
I'm an impactor.
I feel like
that's hard, bro.
I feel like her presence is more impactful when you get to know her rather than her just being in the room and wearing your stuff.
You know where her presence is mad impactful?
Our bar.
Listen, our black
bar.
All
yes,
the motherfucking
bar.
Time.
Yo,
bro.
Can we talk about when our bar is going to get this elevator?
Listen, can I get an endorsement
knees.
Deal? Marlon, Leon, listen. Yo, if that's y'all hear crazy. This shit, I need an endorsement deal. Like, I get people telling me, like, oh, so you about to be there? I'm like, yo, it's tradition at this
that's
point.
That's why. You think you're going to get an endorsement deal before me?
Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
Like, I'm there a lot more than you are.
Are you?
Yes.
You must be out of your damn mind.
Okay.
You
at this point.
I was talking about our bar before. Our bar was our bar.
Listen, I just got hip to these men. These,
like,
you know.
Day one of our bar, I was looking around. They had like a friends and family previous or whatever.
We were there.
July 4th. Oh, yeah, you was there. You came after Secret Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was looking around. Were you there too?
I don't know.
No, I don't think you was there. You ain't fuck with us back then. Shout out to our mama.
Relax. I didn't even know you then.
I know, that's the problem. You feel me? How anybody in Columbus don't know me? That's crazy.
Listen,
but I was looking around, bro. I was like, yo, this is something special.
Yeah.
Bro. Like, just the energy that you felt on day one. I was like, yo, our bar is about to be a problem in the city. Niggas be coming to me like, yo, you have ownership in our bar? I was like, nah, bro. I'm just...
Because we be going hard for them. Yeah, like, we own equity.
What a lot of people don't notice about our bar, it's a great space to meet the right people.
That's
for sure.
That's a thing. A lot of people, it's how you use your space at the end of the day. Like, you can go to any bar, but can you imagine going to a bar that's black owned? That's all black fucking people.
Beautiful black people, too.
Beautiful black people. Impactful black people.
And we're these all niggas, young entrepreneurs, young professionals.
And a lot of people don't talk about their ideas, their moves. They're very hush-hush about their stuff. But I feel like if you're intentionally putting yourself in a room full of people that can help and levitate where you're trying to go, you got to speak up. And that's the place. I'm telling you, that's the place.
Yeah.
It really is.
I don't believe in picking up women at the bar, but...
They're at the dance floor dancing at Burna Boy.
If I ever were to, like, go somewhere to try and meet women, then, like, our bar would be the place.
Would be it,
All the liquor. Because, I mean, there's a lot of business owners at our bar. There's a lot of entrepreneurs. There's people that work for profit, non-profit. It's
political.
Just, political figures. There's a lot of people that'll... elevate you in so many ways, whether it be wellness, spiritual, or financial, any type of literacy you need is there.
This past Friday.
I'm selling the fuck out of this bar.
Come on, right? Yo, we don't get
check,
these endorsements.
You get a sponsor and buy a jewelry.
Right.
That's crazy. But nah, Friday I walked in, my sense was like, hey, Brad, come over to the table right quick. I went over to the table. And it was like, yo, I've been talking to them about this election that's coming up. And I sat and I talked to them for like 35 minutes about local politics and shit. Mm-hmm. I don't know anywhere else I can go to have that type of conversation and then not feel out of place, not feel awkward.
I mean, it's taboo at this point to speak about politics during an election. It is, though. Realistically, it is. I feel like amongst black people, it's, I mean, you don't get that.
Nah. I'm no one talks about politics. Like, shit is too dire right now.
It's very important. Yeah.
To be passive about our local politics. Like, especially here. Man, I promise I'm not going to talk about politics too much. But last week, I saw an article in The Intercept about Joyce Beatty. And back when she was, like, earlier or whatever. And basically, how she is a... She participated in gentrification in the city. And it's like, this
I
is
think
a,
I saw that.
A black woman, you know what I mean? And somebody that we're supposed to look up to and appreciate and all the time. And then, like, you look at some of the stuff the city council is doing. I know a lot of people that's on the city council and stuff, too. So I've been feeling kind of weird talking about it. But it's like, bruh... It's just too important. Like, I saw a meme yesterday. Niggas, like, affordable housing in Columbus. And then it had, like, $1,400 for, like, a one-bedroom or whatever. And it's like, nigga, that's not affordable housing. But that's the type of shit that they be acting like.
But that's also something that a lot of people are not informed about.
Exactly.
Nobody knows that, you know, voting for the president is the most... is not the most detrimental thing.
Exactly.
It's like local, like, who's writing a legislature? Who's writing fucking bills?
Yeah.
Congress.
Cutting the deals and
cutting
shit.
Deals, cutting checks. You know, who's writing, you know, very important laws?
Yeah.
Those are the people we need to vote for. Those are the people we need to be, you know, very informed about.
Mm-hmm. I've been running away from politics for over 10 years.
Politics, they're all clowns.
That's crazy. I've been running away from it because I didn't want to do the song and dance or whatever. I didn't want to give up being able to say nigga online and all that type of shit.
You can really run for some shit though, for real.
I'm not gonna run for nothing, but I am definitely, like, that's another thing I'm doing in 2020 is going to be more involved with informing people about the shit that's happening. Because for whatever reason, niggas be listening to me. I don't know why, but they do. You feel me?
Just go with
You're very informed. That's one thing. Like, I know a lot of smart people, but I don't know a lot of intelligent people that are outside of
And you're on a
smarts.
Platform that is very relatable. So
and you
if you're
use
on
your platform.
Twitter, you're on Instagram.
That platform too.
You're on social media.
I'm like whispering facts.
Nah. Oh, you was talking about Eritreans earlier.
Yeah, big ups Eritreas, my people.
Right. All right, so I don't know if this is offensive. So if it is offensive, let me apologize advance or whatever, right?
I'm already ready to be offended.
Right? You know what I mean?
Hold
Piss
on.
Me
hold
necessary.
On. My pride is going up.
You feel me?
That's
hold
crazy.
On. Heart rate.
My ancestors are
speaking. Right, they're speaking to me right now.
All
right,
so like, I literally didn't know what Eritrea was like 4 or 5 years ago, right?
So
I know you since high school. No, even Nipsey. Like, I look at Nipsey, I didn't know he was Eritrean.
Yeah.
And now that I've been around a lot of Eritreans, like, I can see it. But before, like, I just didn't know. And same with Zach Fresh. I didn't know he was.
Hey, big up,
you know,
Zach Fresh.
And, you know, so on and so forth. But a couple years ago, I found out. Armand, I think I said it to you. I found out about the Eritrean population here in Columbus. I'm like, yo, introduce me to your Eritrean friends.
You did say that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Because it's like, I didn't know that there was such a population here in this city.
A large one, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
All right, is that offensive?
No, to that's just facts.
All right, I'm just making sure. You know, that was the only offensive shit.
I mean, and you got to mention it's exterior and interior.
Yo,
you
know that's the wall.
And I've noticed a lot of American men, black Americans, whatever, shade, color, whatever. But I've heard a lot of non-Eritrean men tell me that, yo, you guys are beautiful,
inside
but it's
out.
So trippy that your personality is 10 times better than your looks.
Mm-hmm.
That shit's a whole fucking package. And I'm like, yo, that makes, I mean, that's a compliment right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because it's like, one thing I told Yodi like 2 or 3 months ago, I was like, bruh, whenever like I'm out with you and you bring your friends around, like, I know that I'm about to meet like dope people.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? Like, men and women. You
mm-hmm.
feel me? It's like, I don't know what it is about y'all's culture.
It's
and
real,
the culture differences.
Real. I feel like we also have our friend groups are not just Eritreans. It's a mix of different Africans and African Americans, but I feel like we're very intentional about who we let in our circle. So I know for a fact that if Yodi has a friend that I have never met a day in my life, we're gonna vibe off that
1000%.
Because I felt like our connections are more than just, you know, being at the same place, same time. For sure. It's a connection. And I feel like I'm very connected with my girls, and I'm connected with everybody that's close to me, and it's very limited too.
Do you feel like people ever be trying to like infiltrate y'all circle? Like
all the time.
Every fucking day.
If this is like high school, we're the it click, and people really try to like, what are you doing? Where are you gonna go? What can we do to
And I feel like we're not like mean girls. You know
we're
not.
We're just very intentional.
You just said that sounded mad mean girls.
No, but I'm saying it's
that's why I said it.
That's how
you
reel
it back.
Y'all just an asshole, bro.
It's cool, though. I'm a great person. I'm just not nice. And that's...
Yeah. I'm so glad that you can acknowledge that now.
Yeah, but that's something that's okay. A lot of people will make something really awful out of me saying I'm a good person versus a nice person. A terrorist could be a nice person. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But, like, a good person, my intentions are pure. I don't ever have any malicious, you know, intent toward anybody. So, but since I'm so, like rude. Blunt.
Oh, yeah, that's a better word.
Bruh, I almost said the B word to this dude.
That's
on the
You're
mic.
Gonna call me a bitch on my own podcast.
I swear to God, I was
about
to.
Nutty. Wow.
But that's the thing, though. Being very honest and not tiptoeing around people's feelings, especially in our generation, people are just so used to that shit.
Let me get you.
And being, like, very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Politically correct?
Yeah, I'm not. I don't have time for that.
I think that's part of the reason why we get along so well. Because same way you said, like, I'm a nice person, but I'm mean, whatever. Like, I've been telling people.
I didn't say that at all. Not it.
I've been telling people, I'm like, bro, I'm a good dude. I have a great heart, but I'm an asshole. People are like, no, you're not an asshole. I'm like, no, I am.
To you. It's considered an asshole because they don't know the capacity at which, you know, there's so many areas, like, of, you know, just a personality standpoint. Like, it's not just being nice and being there for somebody that, you know.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
I think that a lot of shit that happens, and this could be an American thing. My homegirl, I put on my Facebook earlier today. I was like, yo, I'm convinced that a lot of you niggas just don't know what propaganda is. The way that y'all keep on throwing around all loosey-goosey and shit. And my homegirl went to middle and high school with. She's over in China right now. I think she's in China. And she's like a foreign exchange like teacher. She's been there for like 4 or 5 years. It's like, yo, Americans are mad brainwashed. Like, I didn't realize that y'all was so brainwashed until I left. And I did research and I saw we act like we're the standard for like freedom and democracy. But really, we're not. And like to y'all's point, like, I think that a lot of accepted societal behaviors are flawed, you know what I mean? But we just go along with them because that's the way that's supposed to be or whatever.
And it's conditioning.
Mad conditioning. And I think that's something that's like really refreshing about like being around y'all is that, I mean, even though you're American and shit, like, it's just like...
Barely.
Barely.
I feel like I notice how non-American I am when I'm around Americans.
Right.
Like, even, like, just me, I mean, my best friend is Black, and I feel like there's some shit that she does that I'm like, yo, I'm really a fob. Like, I
know. A fob? What's that?
A fob, like, fresh off the boat.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what fob means.
Wait, so you weren't born here in America?
No, I was born...
In the battlefields.
I was born in the battlefields.
Wow, I didn't
Eritrea.
Know that.
Eritrea, yeah.
Wait, Eritrea, like, is it war-torn?
Yeah, so I was born during the war.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was born underground in, like, a bomb shelter.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Man, I've been thinking
those
about...
are realities of people like us. There's so much history.
Yeah.
It's just layers. Layers. Awesome, and then when someone says, like, you're American, it's like, honestly, I feel like I'm not American. I feel like I'm not full Eritrean. It's like you really don't have a place where you feel whole.
But you see, there's reasons like that. That's the reason why I don't call myself an African American. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like it's phony to try to, like, stitch... You know what I mean? A heritage to me just because I have black skin and there's black people over in Africa.
Yeah.
It's like, but I am American. You feel me? Like, the way that I talk, the, like, cultural references, my behavior, all the, like, my customs is all American. There's not any African, like, parts to that. You see what I mean? And you meet people that are literally from Africa and they come over and they talk about, like, even the ones that have become citizens and, like, all right, now you have dual citizenship or whatever. It's just different. I feel like it's insincere for me to call myself, like, an African-American.
That makes a lot of sense, though. Yeah. So I feel like there's always a sense of disconnect that everyone has.
Yeah.
And that's where Mbaya comes in. I feel like so that like shit. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's a way of, like, I feel like right now I've created a space for those who feel like they're disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm bridging the gap through jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, intentionally making African-inspired jewelry
that
is basically promoting African culture and heritage,
mm-hmm.
but it also has promoted or just pushed African-Americans or those who feel disconnected or don't feel like they have a home. They feel like, oh, wow, I do have a space where, you know, I can actually go and find where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot of Black Americans that I've met through business that don't know what the fuck to do.
Yeah. I mean,
they don't know how to even start the conversation. Yeah. That's a thing.
Like, do you offer services to help people to like find where they're from and shit?
I don't, but I
ancestry.com.
Yeah, no, but seriously though, but I feel like I've sat down with a lot of customers that said, like, hey, like, I feel like now I'm pushed to go find my roots.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I still keep in contact with these people. Right. And they'll tell me, like, yo, I have one customer, man. We sat down over Starbucks and she was like, okay, I'm trying to do this ancestry.com because I feel like I don't know where I belong at the end of the day. Like, I know I'm Black American. My parents are from the South. But other than that, I don't know what to tell people about my story. So she's been doing this ancestry.com. She found out that her ancestors are from Togo, which is Western Africa.
Yeah, I got some Togo in me.
Yeah. And she, I mean, she has a large chunk.
Oh, so she's like, see,
from Togo.
I'm glad to hear that because I used to think, like, damn, aren't they just giving everybody the same results?
Right. You know what I mean? Nigeria.
Right. Very likely. But that's the first I've heard of Togo. So I was like, right. Oh, okay. So it's she's been, she completely dived in. Mm-hmm. I think you just need a step. Like, you need that push and you need someone to guide you into one direction where you feel like, oh, okay, I got one piece of the puzzle, so I'm going to do more research. And that's what she was doing. And I ended up making, like, custom jewelry for her with, like, Togo flags, Togo bracelets. Just, like, things that she felt so proud about. And that's it's the smallest
and
thing.
And it's coming from, like, nationally, an actual African.
Yeah.
It's like identity, appropriation type thing. You
exactly.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
dope. Something that's different, too. Racial identity, I didn't even consider that as something to even think about until I moved here. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, you grow up thinking, oh, you know, being Black is only, like, a Black American thing.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that being Black was, you know, further more than just the skin that you're born with.
Mm-hmm.
And so having a conversation.
That's where the propaganda comes in.
Yeah. Right.
That's
with my
I
daughter.
I call myself Black American. I call myself nigga American. I know that's controversial. I'm so serious. Yeah.
My eyes switching.
Yeah, I feel like nigga is the only thing that is unique specifically to Black Americans. Like, it's not for anybody else across the whole world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I take pride in it. Some of the greatest people in history have been called nigga. You know what I mean?
It's true, but also not in the most positive way.
I mean, positive, negative. You can read
it. I mean, it's true. We are the culture. We do kind of navigate where the culture goes.
Yeah. They call me a Twitter personality. You know,
you are a Twitter personality.
That's crazy. But
you got an award for it.
You did get an award
for it. Lincoln Cafe.
Yeah,
bro.
I wasn't for being a Twitter person.
Was that Lincoln Cafe?
It was for being some type of, what was it?
An influencer.
That was at Lincoln Cafe.
Okay.
No,
Lincoln Theater. Wow. This line is kicking in.
That's crazy. I was like, what cafe were we at?
Put some respect on my accolades.
Listen, come on. All day, every day. I'm always giving you flowers. Stop being a little punk.
Yeah, wow.
Damn.
See how she treats me, man. Okay. It'll always be the most closest to you.
Okie dokie.
Whatever.
But
now, like, somebody initially called me a Twitter person. They was shit. The reason why I asked you earlier, like, you know, does anybody ever, like, talk shit about your stuff? Like, and they don't know that they're talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was, like, see people I talk about, like, Orange Soda, for example. I'm like, oh, it ain't nothing but, you know, Twitter personalities that be there. So, like, I showed up to the next one with a Twitter personality shirt. You know what I'm saying?
I cannot.
Yeah. And I flipped it. You know what I mean? Same way that I feel like flipping niggas.
Culture, yeah.
Like,
all right.
You
know
are
what I mean?
The culture.
I feel like it's just okay to be insecure about shit. And I feel like people don't feel I feel like people are so afraid of criticism.
Afraid. Validation literally gears everybody's motives.
Yeah, and it triggers your insecurity just because someone is opposed to what you're doing. Yeah. Like, you should welcome that and really work on how you respond.
That's social media, though.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. So I feel like with Orange Soda, it's such a... It's such a large space.
It's a little event. It's a party.
First of all, it's a party with multiple people in one setting in one night. So you're going to have multiple views from, I mean, similar to any bar experience or club experience. The night after, we're talking shit about what went right and what went wrong.
Nothing goes wrong at Orange Soda.
Listen, the last time I was there.
That's crazy. What's y'all's critique? I was the only one there.
Nah, and I told you what happened.
That doesn't count.
Bitches tried to come up to me talking about, let's do this woman to woman. And I'm like, yo, back it up.
Yo, like a complete stranger came up to her. It's like, yo, woman to woman. Like, just tell me, like, you got something going on with this nigga?
I am literally sitting by the bar. The only person I'm speaking to is Malcolm.
Yeah, somebody she had just met that night.
Oh, that was your girl?
And he was sitting next to me, and she was just dead. I'm talking belligerent. And was like across the thing from me, talking about, hey, woman to woman, pull up. Come over here. I want to talk to you. I'm like, girl,
somebody told me that there was like six or seven women like in the bathroom, and it was all like, yo, let's go.
No, and it was to fight her.
Yeah.
And I was in there like, no, she's really drunk. Nobody needs to do that. She will die.
Look at you, peacekeeper. You know
no, it's just she the looked United Nations dry. Said, yo, she, shut the fuck up.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Ladies, stop going out drunk without your girlfriends.
Alone.
Please don't go out.
Please, because there's a lot of creeps out here. They're just ready to pick you up at any time and any moment, talking about, hey, what you got going on? You look fine enough to take home. Okay, but you can't even walk down the steps. Malcolm, you've seen this multiple times.
Yeah, facts.
It's like, what is wrong with y'all? Who raised y'all? I don't even need to say, like, you have sisters or mothers. I hate that fucking analogy.
That's crazy, bro.
As human beings, respect women, bro. We are the creators of this fucking world.
It's that these punchlines, well, not punchlines, pickup lines that people use, like, they be working on people. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, you see my DMs.
Facts.
Niggas is crazy.
Yeah. But it be where I saw somebody screenshot. Something. I think I sent it to you.
Oh, you sent it to me. Yeah. Yes. And it was some wild ass fuckery. And the way that dude had approached this girl or whatever.
And it was wild, absurd. Disrespectful. And she was like, yo, chill. He was like, all right, my bad.
But where are dudes getting this playbook from? That's what I want to know. Like, who? I don't even think it's Steve Harvey, but it has to be working for...
I'm trying to tell you where we got it from. Steve Harvey.
Niggas are watching Steve Harvey to pick up girls?
Nah, you don't remember the whole...
Act like a man, think like a woman.
But the way dudes be approaching girls.
No, it's crazy, it's off the wall.
You can't be telling a female, last time I was at our bar, this dude literally yelled at me, damn, you fine as fuck.
Oh my God.
I was like, yo, you have zero manners. And he's like, oh, you proper too? I was like, yeah, get away from me. That's just you proper too.
Is that what y'all coming with?
Wait, you proper too? I was like, yo, whose man's is this? No, on some real shit though, like, I feel like it's just disrespectful on so many levels. And I know that it has to be working on some females out here for them to be.
We gotta do better.
Yeah.
It's gotta be working for it to come. It's so disrespectful.
Yeah. Like, people lack boundaries. People lack just personal space.
Personal space. Please, let's speak about boundaries.
That's the reason why I don't like trying to pick up girls.
I feel like you don't have to. At the end of the day, I feel like guys need to understand you don't have to pick up girls.
That's crazy.
You really don't have to pick up girls. You can just start off with a basic ass conversation and have some depth to you, my nigga. Talk about something that.
Have something to talk about. They don't have
conversational skills. Yeah, That's the awkward part, is they don't know how to talk to you, so they just throw random shit. I really do think
it's a lack of social skills. Because if you don't know how to socialize with opposite sex, you're going to come off as fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Is that debatable or not?
No, the flip side of that, though, is that there are people that are, like, psychotic or whatever. And know, for sure, like, the right things to say. Like, bro,
manipulate.
Girl, we know some in our past. Long-term relationships.
Damn.
Shit.
You want to talk about it?
Absolutely the fuck not. Damn, but I'm saying.
Put your hair in everything.
But I'm saying, like, I man, know she's how got someone. Whole chest, bro. Well, God. Mama. Fuck these niggas. But it's just, there's so many people that can use manipulation to get to someone just to gain from what they wanted and then just dip out.
Bro, I got so mad. Yeah. Because, like, I legitimately, I prefer women when they're, like, dressed down casual or whatever. Like, yo, just kicking it.
That's the
like,
best.
Sweatpants, yeah. Hair tie, chilling.
He's horny as fuck.
Wow. Okay, wow. That's crazy. But, nah, look, he said that and then it became, now it's corny to say, but it's like, bruh, that's literally my preference or whatever. And it's like, I can't even say it now because so many people say, oh, this is how you do it. Or like back when we were in like middle or high school, I am. Niggas was like, yo, don't call them sexy, don't call them hot, call them beautiful. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's those sort of things. And it passes in the men only spaces. I say, bruh, this is how you do it. We be quote unquote like putting each other on game and shit. You see what I mean? And then it just becomes, you know what I mean? No, you don't look like you know what I mean.
No, I just don't understand. there's a lot of questions on my part. So like, where? So you guys are telling each other what to say to other women?
I'm saying like, me, I'm a bit of a pariah. You feel me?
Okay.
Like, niggas be talking about women, and I'd be like, bruh, why are you doing this? Like, why are you talking like this? Why are they bitches? Why are you casually referring to the people that you want to potentially like, be with as like, these hoes? Where the hoes at? Like, right. Anyways, that's
but it's, and so that's a problem. That's an ego thing, and I feel like that's insecurity.
It is insecurity.
Yeah, yes. Dudes are that are.
I don't know if it's insecurity.
I think so too.
I know.
Do you think it's the same as just say nigga casually, huh? Calling females bitches and hoes?
I don't understand your question.
You're saying that
carrot slap.
Sorry. this carrot's a dip is going in right now. Shit.
I haven't tried the dip, bro. I'm about to fuck with the vibes.
When guys call females bitches and hoes, are you saying that that's just out of nature? Like, that's just normal?
Yeah.
That's part of the culture.
Yeah, I think that it's just normalized. Like, that's like how you... That's just part of the conversation or whatever.
Like, we call dudes niggas.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
The same thing. Now, I'm not saying that it's right, but I think that we need an entire culture of reprogramming and shit. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which is ironic because I just defended nigga. But, I really mean it, though. You feel me? I also don't think it's an insecurity type thing. I think more than that, it's like an entitlement type shit.
Absolutely. Where, like, it's a possession.
Like, niggas feel like they're... And, I mean, I'm guilty of it, too, sometimes. Like, it's like, yo, I'm... this shit or whatever, and so you should be like grateful to like be talking to me, and so you go into the conversation feeling that way. You see what I mean?
But that could be very dangerous.
What do you mean? How?
Let me tell you, for example, this is an example because you were there. I don't know if you
somebody business, bro.
Listen, I'm saying though, like we were at our bar again.
Our bar.
Our bar. And this dude was supposedly an NBA player, and he sent one of his little minions. Yo, was you?
Yeah, I was there. Malcolm, you were with me.
You were the one that saved us from me punching this little bitch ass nigga.
Yikes!
So we're literally standing. I'm going to the bathroom. He sends one of his minions, and he's like, "Yo, my boy's an NBA player. He really fuck with you. He's trying to talk to you. It's his birthday. Come take a shot with us." And I'm just like, "I'm cool. Please get up off my face."
Mm-hmm.
And he was so fucking close. Like,
he was literally when I say up zero, my nose.
Yeah, no, no, no.
With the belt buckle?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's crazy.
So I go by the bar. I go by the bar, and it's Armana that's standing close to the bar area. And I'm just like standing there. We're just minding our fucking business. And this dude is like, yo, I'm going to tell you one more again. Like, I'm telling you, my homeboy wants to talk to you. Like, who the fuck do you think you are? Just come over here.
Yeah, he literally got... I'm saying... from 0 to 100 so fucking fast. And was like, I don't think you heard me. He's an NBA player.
He's like, what you
player.
Need?
Like,
money?
What the fuck?
Going into his pockets, trying to take out money to throw in my face, apparently.
That's crazy.
And then Armana's like, I don't think you heard what she said. Back up. And then he gets dumb close to Armana's face, like, very aggressively. Like, who the fuck do y'all bitches think y'all are? Blah, blah, blah. And that's when you stepped in. You're like, bro, you good. And he was like, oh, these your hoes or these your bitches or some shit. And then he backed away. And I'm like, yo, it took him to... come with a sense of entitlement that these are my, you know, females.
This is your property. Yeah. Right?
My property, like, for him to back up.
Niggas will only respect if somebody quote unquote belongs to another
nigga.
Like they respect that way more that than someone sure saying crazy no.
Crazy part. But that's so facts, you saying though. No is it's like you being a bitch.
Basically. You're nothing.
That's not as powerful as you saying my nigga's right there or whatever. Niggas like, oh, that's your nigga.
But cool. You could easily say I got a nigga. These niggas don't give a fuck. They have to physically see a whole nigga right there
in your face. Oh, I'm married. Oh, you married? Where your husband now? Like where you at? Like he don't the really fuck with you. He's not mind? Here. I have a whole ring on my finger. You think they give a fuck? No. Damn. It's considered a challenge.
Yeah, it is an ego thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's ego. Is. Yeah, and also. I mean, like, going back, I ain't trying to get too deep with it, you know what I mean? But, like, the whole way that our society is set up or whatever, with, like, patriarchy and all that type of shit, like...
what's that shit? Toxic masculinity?
Yeah, but, like, all right, so if I'm supposed to be the provider in the relationship or whatever, then if that's the main thing that you're looking for, if I pull out a wad of cash, it's like, look, nigga, I got money. So now that your highest priority, your highest qualification... Like, that's a checkoff or whatever. You see what I mean? Right. That's the mentality of niggas. That's the reason why, again, I just think that systemically as a whole culture, we need to go back. We need to have more honest conversations about it.
Oh, absolutely.
We need to have more listening.
Listening. Like, that's what's necessary.
But also, and I understand it too. Like, before I say this, I completely understand it. A lot of women that I talk to on the regular, they're tired of having to explain being a woman to niggas. And it's like, nah, right. Bro, I'm over that. Fuck you. Like, get out of my face or whatever.
Right.
And it's like, bro, like, what are you talking? I'm trying to understand you or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, nigga, it's not my job to educate you. And that's why I feel like
and
it's
I
really incumbent on niggas to
that.
Check each other and to, like, educate each other. It's like, bro, this ain't the right way to approach it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I feel like it's so much insecurity. Just from the beginning, like you're a complete stranger, you're coming to me with so much aggression.
And I don't know you.
And you don't know. And that's the thing. I feel like, especially us, like from my circle of friends, we're nice girls. So we're like, bro, if you come at us correct, we're definitely gonna fuck with you. Like we're chill. But dudes don't like that shit. They want us to just jump on it off bat.
Another part of it is alcohol too. Like, not to get
that liquid courage.
Yeah, it's a liquid courage, and it's also liquid aggression and all that type
of
stuff.
Oh, for sure. The violence is crazy when that shit comes, and they don't understand the different senses. Like,
just body language, off body language, off my facial expressions. Like, you should know I'm uncomfortable, bro. Like,
right.
But if your sensories is off or whatever, like,
you can't even read people, right?
Yeah, like, I was talking to, don't say his name, I was talking to bro yesterday. I was like, yo, nigga, you was wild or whatever. And he was like, how would I do? And I told him the story or whatever. He was like, bro, I had no idea. I'm like, nigga, like, you can't be like that. You feel me? And, yeah, you just can't be like, and that requires an honest conversation with yourself.
Yeah, because people will take that and act defensive and be like, who the fuck are you to tell me that I don't act right when I'm under the influence?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And
I feel like being under the influence, they see it as a pass to try
to do whatever.
Yeah, yeah, and use that as an excuse.
Yeah,
like,
again, that goes back to our culture, though. You know what I mean? We have songs like Blame It on the Alcohol. You know what I'm saying? Or If I Get One More Drink, then you see what I'm saying? Like,
what that fat nigga's name is?
T-Pain?
With the roofie?
Rick Ross.
Yeah. Bro. He's talking about rape, bro.
Not just Rick Ross. Lil Wayne was talking about it on Hyper.
Girl.
He's like, I put Molly all in her drink, she didn't even know it. I took her home and enjoyed that, she didn't even know it.
What?
Yes! A whole...
Rick Ross said that?
Niggas were out here bopping to it.
Yeah, the You Ain't Even Know remix.
Cardi B did the same thing, talking about she roofies niggas when she was stripping.
That's that shit that you really gotta pay attention, because niggas and bitches will fucking roofie you.
Even without roofies, bro. Like, I mean, we talking about just general sex education, like, at large. Women are mad aggressive, and we don't talk about that enough.
It's never a topic of discussion because we're already the underdogs.
Exactly,
so,
Understandably why it doesn't. Yeah. But it's like, at some point, niggas have to make a space to talk about. I can't tell how many times I tell somebody, like, yo, I'm good. Like, nigga, what do you mean you good? No.
Are you pussy? You not? Yeah. Are you gay? Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Bro, women just be coming up. I've been in the gym a little bit. You see what I'm saying?
I see, so, nigga.
Like, they be
you
in
about
the club.
To pop out of your holes.
That's crazy. They be, like, rubbing on my chest and on my arms. I'm like, bro.
Don't touch me.
There's no way I could do this to you. You feel me? Like, why do you feel like it's okay to do that to me? I'm nervous. Oh, you know, I'm just like, nah, like, could you not? You feel me? I don't like being touched, period. You feel me?
And it's hard to say that as a man to a woman, because then you're going to be considered soft or considered like, but in reality, you don't even like women and that's why you're acting this way, or you know what, fuck you then. Like, no, it's because, you know, boundaries. These are very necessary things, which I teach my daughter. You know, I know you teach Avery.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a better... Khalifa. You know what I'm saying? My daughter will be like, oh, mommy, you didn't ask for a hug. Why are you touching me?
Facts.
Mm-hmm. And these are things that I've trained her to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, she knows strangers, family, friends, nobody's allowed to touch her without her consent.
You know, yesterday they had a little tiff or whatever. Bruh, I was like...
They're just literally the same fucking person.
She was crazy. There was a series. I was like, all right, Avery, say bye. And Avery was like, well, do you want to hug Elsie? And I was just like, no, I'm fine.
This is new age. Like, bro, you know how wonderful that is?
But that's,
honest.
Yeah, that's that communication skills that... Yeah, as a child,
if you are given a lot these of tools, us lack.
Like, we didn't have that communication.
It's like, okay, go hug them, and you have no choice but to hug that person. Yeah. You have strange fucking family members in quotations that will come and be like, "Oh, you didn't hug them. Oh, you're disrespectful." Especially in our culture, it's fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
People are allowed to hug you, touch you, kiss you, whatever. You're being left alone.
Kiss you. Well, I mean, culturally, we kiss about three times on the cheek as a hello. Word. As a greeting.
So y'all just like
as a
greeting. That when y'all came to America.
No, that's absolutely.
No, we still do that.
We do that amongst our elders, ourselves, our friends.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But I feel like it gets excessive. As a child, though, it is very
traumatizing.
It's very traumatizing because you're kissing people that you have never seen a day in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And when you, culturally, when you haven't seen someone for a long time, you end up kissing them more than three times on the cheek. Mm. So you can go on until the other person.
Kiss and shit,
I'm saying.
Literally.
Hugs up. You're in, like, you have no physical, like, space whatsoever. Yeah. And if you don't do that, you're considered somebody that has no home training.
But this is why, like, because we were talking about that earlier. Like, this is why we said it with politics, but it's more than just politics. Like, even social politics or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to talk about these things that are taboo or that are uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm going to be honest or whatever. Like, in part, well, I want to say is why I'm not, why I don't pick up people at the bar or whatever. And let me give a disclaimer or whatever. Like, I didn't, mm-hmm. I'm not nowhere near like what these other niggas and stuff is on. But I remember somebody that like I cared about when they was like, yo, nigga, like, you was just like talking mad reckless or they'd be mad aggressive with me and shit. And I was like, damn, I was? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, damn, like, I didn't remember because I was drunk or whatever. And I was like, all right, that means that if I'm going to be drinking, then I have to change. Well, I just have to not be drinking. You see what I'm saying? Like, if that's what happens when I get drunk, then I can't do that or whatever. You know what I mean? Or like, I don't know if you guys ever noticed, I don't really dance with people. Like,
you don't? I don't think I've ever seen
you. I don't think I've seen you dance
anybody on
life.
You ever.
Yeah, like sometimes like girls will come up and dance with me and like I'm just like standing there or whatever. It's because like I want to make sure, especially with the role that I'm playing in the city and the things I'm curating in the city or whatever, I'd rather have the utmost caution, the utmost restraint. And, like, keeping my distance or whatever from people rather than, like, going out and, like, doing some or pressuring somebody to do something they don't want to do for real. Mm-hmm. But they think that because I'm Michael from Orange Soda or from Native Tongues or Flypaper or ETC or just from Our Bar or whatever, think that oh, I got to do this
shit. Longest list of
I could have went on too.
I know he could have.
Right.
That's
he
wanted to be. He's
like,
I'm
like, let me be humble
right
real
now.
Quick.
Nah, this is my podcast.
Let me drop like eight.
Right.
You feel me? But... like, I don't want anybody to, like, kind of, like, how the NBA player was trying to pressure, like, yo, do you know who I am?
Right.
I don't want there to be an implied, do you know who I am? Even just
you
around
should.
The city.
Right. You should.
You see what I mean?
Like, well, I forget his name, but there was that boy that went, what, 20 years? He got school, you know, his, what's it called? Scholarship revoked, his career, his entire life.
And that's the problem,
taken to
bro.
Trash, and he never did shit.
And that's the sad part, because... most rape accusations aren't false. You see what I mean?
Right.
And but the ones that
you can be rejected and you feel like, oh, what, you about to do this to me? And then let me just take this somewhere else. But a lot of rape accusations could be true, but we can't know unless the proper tests and everything have been taken.
Yeah. It's like most of them are legitimate. They're credible accusations when they get made and whatnot.
Right.
And so when something comes up and it's blatant, it's obvious that it's not, I mean, we can take it off of rape and talk more about like the Jesse Smollett type shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, bruh, like racism is rampant right now all across the country.
Why would
you do that, right? And now you doing this and you're belittling, you're undermining all the real cases that are out there because you're out here lying and getting attention and stuff for it. And like, it just, it's counterproductive to the entire
movie. Did he ever do an interview on that? Like, what?
I think it just literally kind of slipped away. I feel
like
it was a hype,
and then he just disappeared. Like, no one talked about it.
I don't give him no attention, honestly. Huh? Like I said, I don't give him no attention, so I don't know if he did or not.
But I felt like that was the headlines for a while, but then I never saw an interview from him saying why he even said anything.
I think he went on Dateline or NBC or some shit like that. I don't know which one, but he did something. I just didn't tune into it because I don't have no interest in giving attention to it. And like, that's a big thing, like, bro. It's like, yo, we should give attention to the shit that we want to. Like, when all that stuff happened with Food Hall a couple months ago, and it's like, bro, I gave up on these white establishments anyways. That's the reason why I'd be at Our Bar or Avalon or XO or
Lifestyle or Willoughby's.
The Pelican Room or Uppercut, bro. Like, I'm going.
Hoyos. Everybody. You name it, all y'all.
Mo.
Yeah, listen.
That's y'all supposed to take me there. And
I'll take you.
You never been to Hoyo's Kitchen?
Nah. We've talked about this like seven times. Do that.
Fire.
And every time we talk about it, y'all say, you ain't never been before? It's fire. You got to do that. And then we don't ever do it.
That's
why I got trust issues.
Around the corner.
Wow, it's close to?
It's in North Market.
North Market.
Wow. That's
crazy. They have a location on Cleveland Avenue.
Yep.
Nuts.
But the North Market one is more accessible.
Yes, because it's right here.
Oh, man, I ain't going to say that on the record.
Oh, wow.
Just because I didn't talk about it yet. Like, yo, shit. Yeah, I was listening to this shit, and, nigga, you know what I mean? Nah. All
right,
so.
All right.
And you was talking about the different shit that I do, whatever, how I can keep on going on. One of the things that I'm personally, like, I'm sorry, because I don't really get to, like, brag enough about being your friend. Because you don't tell people all the different shit that you do or whatever. You see what I'm saying?
Relax.
And do you know that? I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on podcast. So,
wait, what are you saying?
You know that she's the highest paid makeup artist in the area?
What?
I believe it.
Bruh. Like, you know she's on billboards and commercials and began flew out to like other cities and everything to do makeup for music
what
videos.
What else, Malcolm? What else? Keep going.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's just that humble shit that we're trying to eradicate from our culture. It's like, I don't really talk enough about myself because I'm like, yo, like, I'm getting paid and that's all that matters. So I don't feel like I need
to.
She
works for herself, bro. Like, she
paid
off of the brush.
Self-owned shit.
Off of the brush.
Yo, that's crazy. You know what's wild, though? I've never had a 9-to-5 in America since I've lived here.
You see what I mean, bro?
Yeah.
How long you been here?
I've been here 7 years.
7 years. I ain't never worked for the man, bro. You
never.
See what I mean?
Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, I give myself some
props. That shit's not normal, bro.
As you should.
But that's the thing, though. Like, I've always had that, you know, mentality of, like, grit and perseverance. I've lived in 5 different countries and had to restart my life over so many times that it's just normal for me.
Mm.
A lot of people are like, what? I got to start from scratch? Bitch, that's a lot of work.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, but it's not an option for me.
Like, bruh.
You know, I've got to do that. I've like authority issues. I can't work for nobody. So for me to be able to work for myself, create my own schedule, create my own money, I get to employ people that I fuck with, that I care about. And I get to also work through a lot of, you know, skills that I built myself, like accounting, marketing, working with people, you know,
team management,
financial literacy. These are all things that I had to kind of hone in on my own. And something that I'm trying to learn in 2020 is gaining more experience in terms of like taking and being okay with taking help. It's something Armana and I have actually talked about a lot. She's like, how can you do for others if you can't do for yourself?
Mm.
And that hit me. And I'm just like, yo, sis, you're right. because it's bigger than me at this point. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to mentor kids. I'm trying to, you know, create different establishments and like create enterprises and shit. Mm. So if I'm trying to do that and go back home and start workshops and help people create, you know, trade experiences of some sort, how can I do that if I don't even ask for help in areas that I'm not even familiar with?
I learned a couple of years ago, it's like most people start businesses so that they can sell it. Like, the normal trajectory for like entrepreneurs is not to be working their business for the rest of their life.
For sure. Like, you gotta make the money work for you.
Exactly. Yeah. You hire other people, so then now it's sustaining itself and you can move on and you can start working for other people, for other things, yeah, or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like as an entrepreneur, it's very hard to get out of that mentality where, mm-hmm, you feel like,
oh, talk about it.
Every entrepreneur has that grind. Hey, go ahead. Has that, you know what I mean? You have, if you're an entrepreneur, whether you're successful or not, if you're working, mm-hmm, towards a goal or a dream or a skill that you have, mm-hmm, you have that hunger for whatever you're trying to get.
Very true.
So I feel like you're always in that hustle mode, and it's hard for entrepreneurs to get out of that hustle mode, mm, and create and see the difference between a business and being an entrepreneur and running a company,
yeah,
where you feel like there are levels to entrepreneurship, but a lot of people fail to see that because they're so stuck in this, I got to work at my next event. Yeah, I got to, yeah, produce. And it does suck the creativity out of,
mm-hmm, that's your what work. Happened to me.
That's a lot of people. That's the thing.
Because I'm taking care of everything. Remember we were talking about that?
It's a lot. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's a lot of pride that comes with entrepreneurship where you feel like, yo, I'm a one-woman ship. I'm a one-man, yeah, ship. I do, yeah, A, X, Y, and Z. But then you're never talking about how drained you are in different pockets of your life,
too. The real thing comes when you can say, yo, I pay other people to work
for me. But that's a difference between a boss, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not cutting checks. Yeah, if you don't cut checks, you're not a boss.
You're not.
Yeah.
You're not. At the end of the day.
I cut checks every month, though, just for the record.
But the thing is, though, like, you running a business doesn't necessarily mean that you don't work for the man. Mm-hmm. You're still working. You're working for your consumers at the end of the day.
You're working 100 hours versus the 40 hours that the man has you working.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And maybe you get more return for your time. Maybe. Sometimes you get less return.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it's more you get more of a fulfillment rather than working for an 8 to 5 job where you feel like, oh, I'm just clocking in, clocking out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're more full off of your experience doing something you
before,
love.
Before, I was adamant. It's like, I'm never going to go work for anybody else ever again. You know what I mean? I have enough, like, of shit that I started, like, our own working partnership. But I'm pivoting away from that. Like, what I was doing before I came here, there's a job that popped up for Columbus Park and Recs. It's part-time. And it's like, yo, Park and Recs did a lot for me as a kid growing up, mm-hmm, and shit. And the job is something that I could really, like, I could see myself enjoying or whatever. But it's like, it's a choice now. It's not I have to go out and do this or whatever.
And people don't see having a choice as a privilege.
Yeah.
That's a huge privilege because a lot of people are stuck in a circumstance where they feel like, yo, I have to get an 8 to 5 job.
It's a lack of knowledge, though.
Absolutely. So it's your environment, your circle, you're not talking to the right people where you feel like, oh, I'm bouncing my ideas off of you and you can tell me which avenue to take.
Right.
You know what I mean? With these dreams.
And your circle could be a cage or they could be the people that free you.
Absolutely.
You know, the thing about this conversation y'all talking about right now is that, you know, there's been a lot of dialogue about, yo, we need to just have all the entrepreneurs come around and share game and share wisdom or whatever.
Which we're down. We've been talking about that, me and her, literally.
Bro. I'm so tired of all these empty platitudes or whatever where people just say shit because it's cliche and it's like, this is what you're supposed to say. Or whatever.
Right.
It's like, bro, you're not actually giving any
practical information that works.
Like, entrepreneurship, don't come and read a script for me.
It's hard as fuck.
It's a great freedom, but that shit it sucks.
It's exhausting.
That shit drains you emotionally. It's an emotional, it's like a toxic ass relationship. Yeah.
It really is. That's like, listen, how long has it been? Like, I made Malcolm wake up at 6 in the morning every day for the past,
and I still wake up.
2 months. Has it been 2 months?
Since December. Yeah.
It's been 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's like, why do you wake up at 6 in the morning? Because I have more time now.
Yeah.
And it's hard because we're both entrepreneurs, we both parents, and we gotta wake up earlier to achieve a lot of the errands or a lot of the work, a lot of the
before your shit. Kids starts needing
you know what I'm saying, and then now you got to be a parent, and then from being a parent you got to drop them off at school and you got to get back to, you know, putting some shit into yourself, going to the gym, or
and now your momentum's fucked up or whatever,
right? And then you're tired by like 3 o'clock and you need a lot more energy, and it's like, how do you even consider working for yourself when you're this drained on a day-to-day basis? Mm-hmm. That shit is hard.
Yeah.
That's why I said, I don't know if this is a left turn pivot, but okay, I'm going to say it anyways. I said a couple months ago that it's irresponsible for leaders to be celibate. Like, you should be out there and...
Hoeing? What are you talking
about? No, not hoeing. Just like... One of the platitudes that they put out there for entrepreneurs is that, you know, you don't have time for a relationship or anything like that. You see what I'm saying?
I mean, that's partially true.
It's real.
That has some truth to it.
But the stress and the anxiety that comes from being single, you see what I mean?
But being single gives me the option to not worry about somebody else that's going to continually need my time. My time is very, very important right now, and it's very, like, limited. So I'm very intentional about where my time goes and how many hours I'm giving people. And depending on what you're giving me in return, like, is it, and this is something like, oh, you're selfish. Like, you need something. Yeah, absolutely. I've been pouring into people for so many years.
Yeah.
We're at a time, you know, in our ages right now where it's like, if the energy is not reciprocal, what is the point of this shit?
Facts. And if you don't understand where I'm at with it,
yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Not I mean, you just end up babysitting the idea of what you could and have I can't with do this
potential.
Person.
Yeah, I don't fuck with potential. Show so me and come as you are.
Can you imagine? That's the norm, though. Everybody does that. I won't say that. Not but yet. I feel like as an entrepreneur, though, that's one thing that you learn about yourself. Like, that's, I feel like entrepreneurship is toxic on so many levels because it's an emotional roller coaster. But at the end of the day, it's like, that's where every business owner has a safe space to really figure themselves out, to know exactly what they want to do, what they don't like. And I feel like you don't even need to know what you like. You just have to know what you don't like at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Just know what you don't fuck that's with. If you see someone that you're like, damn, I really don't fuck with that, then that's all you need. That's your ticket out at the end of the day. Right. But I just feel like it's about being more intentional and being more selective about who is in your circle, and entrepreneurs would need someone that is just as passionate in their goals as you are, just as busy as you are.
Absolutely. I don't know. I think that sometimes I feel that way, and then sometimes I feel the exact opposite. Like, I need somebody that don't got no ambition available at all. You know what I'm saying?
I can't have
you got to be going as hard as me. Yeah. You got to have hustle.
Because I feel like it
sounds good.
Yeah, I feel like that's
that's reality, though. If you're over here going in at 100% and you have a partner that's going at 40, I don't think I could even. All right,
so when I say ambition, I mean, like, I don't need to date another entrepreneur.
I don't want an entrepreneur, but I need you to have some goals, though.
Entrepreneurs, but, like, look at Kobe, for example. Right. You see what I mean? Like, he was out here, he was grinding Mamba, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And his wife is literally making the home. And it's like, you have that security that there's stability over here that's going to take care of all of that shit over there.
Right. But I think it's also personal preference, though.
No, for sure. I'm just saying, like, I go back and forth with it. Yeah. Like, because I'm inspired by people that got energy like that, like I do or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then it's like,
it's all about, at the end of the day, like, though, it's not really about the hustle. It's about more passionate.
Yeah, so mental. I need you for to have instance, some time, if yeah,
in Kobe's case, here's someone that's in a high level industry where his job needs him at all times, right? Mm-hmm. Now he has a demanding job. He has a woman at home that provides for the home and provides for the children, but we really don't know what goes on in their home. We don't know anything about his wife to know that, hey, this is her only purpose in life is to be a homemaker.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's the image that's sold to us that's like, oh, Kobe's this elite athlete and he has a home. He has a beautiful wife that has beautiful children and she just raises and just, you know, gets pregnant. Yeah.
I think my main point is just that, like, there's no rules to it. You know what I mean? Like, entrepreneurs don't have to date other entrepreneurs or whatever. Or creatives don't have to date other creatives. Like, sometimes having to foil.
It's a balance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you definitely need a balance. Like, if I'm high energy, I'm eccentric, I'm all over the place. Like, it might be better for me to have somebody that is more streamlined, organized, and, like, it's all together and shit. Oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if that's how I really feel, but I entertain the idea. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like at the end of the day, a lot of people don't know exactly what they want, but we get little doses of what we could have.
It's just creating a standard. I just feel like, don't have expectations. Create your standard, and if somebody meets that shit...
Oh, you potting now.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it's like, if somebody doesn't meet your standards, why are you wasting time?
Yeah.
Because now you're, again, walking on the fucking eggshells of potential. Like, oh, okay, this person potentially could work for me.
Man,
and you're not even sold on this person 100%.
Just the idea of potential will steal so many years of your life.
Oh, my God.
Facts. I like the idea of, like, exactly as you are. Like, if nothing changed about you right now, like, if you were
this exact person,
are you somebody I have chemistry with if you never changed?
Yeah.
And if you're not, then... You know,
then
I can't,
you're not.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. I feel like we're so timid about what we want. Like, we're so afraid to hurt the other person's feeling, and we're very accommodating, and we're so easily
over-accommodating.
Like, yeah, I feel like for us, like, I can only speak from experience. Like, Eritrean women in general are we're submissive by nature, but we're very accommodating.
You're submissive?
I'm not.
No, but I feel like we're submissive to the right people, to the right energy. Things, you know what I mean, to
I'm
the right energy
that word.
But I feel like we're easy, well, it's easy for us to put ourselves second to someone else.
Yeah, that's
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I feel like we are victims of potential. We are victims of manipulation. We're you know what I mean, because we want to see the good in someone. So I feel like, you know, a lot of people don't come as they are. A lot of people come as what they have the image of what you wanted.
You know, the problem that I have is, like, when shorties come to me, or, like, people I've dated in the past or whatever, and, like, they were in love with the thought of me. Like, I remember one of my exes, she was like, yo, I finally found my Martin. I was like, yeah, but my name is Malcolm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like, bro, like, I can't be who you think that I am. Yeah.
And I'm not responsible for that.
I'm not responsible
for
that.
That's the thing.
Unless I say that I can do that. And if I do, then that's irresponsible of me.
You.
Exactly. And that's why I stopped doing that.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm an ass, so, you know.
People will take it how they take it. I feel if I'm telling you who I am right now and you misconstrue that and you try to put me in a box or make me fit your picture, that's your responsibility. And that's on you. Because when I leave, I've already told you who I was. And you keep trying to paint me with a different brush.
Yeah.
So I don't feel responsible, and I feel a lot less guilt, and I can walk away from something saying that, yo, I told you who I was, you just didn't hear me.
Yeah.
And another thing with us is, like, we're raised on the idea of sacrifice being sacrifice yourself, and then everything else that follows from that is like, oh, like, I didn't, till a couple years ago, I never even got my nails done.
Wow, for
yeah,
real?
Yeah, never.
Wow.
I didn't know, you know, I know you have
your shit
never
always be
on
10,
you
wow.
know what I mean?
That's crazy.
But, like, things like that, it's because it's like, that money could go to my daughter, that money could go to my parents, that money could go to my siblings, that money could go to families back home or
to your nigga.
People here. Ugh, that too is disgusting. I'm never doing that shit again.
That's crazy.
But things like that is like, where do we draw the line where sacrifice is more so not compromise? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, at what point does sacrifice become, like, detrimental to who you are?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because, like, if I gotta lose myself to gain someone, I've already lost.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the standards that you place for someone outside of yourself should be the same standard.
But
that you
I will
place
say
yourself.
This though,
for sure.
There was one girl in my past or whatever. I remember. I was
the
like,
the one that got away.
Man, listen. I was like, bro, I would give up all of this shit. Well, I would have at the time. I would give up everything except for Avery, obviously. You know what I mean? For a shorty, like, because that relationship meant more. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's right or wrong, though. You know what I mean?
This sounds like unconditional love.
All of my love is unconditional, though.
Mine isn't. Yeah, it's only unconditional with my friends and my family.
Yeah.
I don't tell you I love you.
I feel that, though. And I feel like that's also a trust thing, too.
Yeah, it is.
Well, you got trust issues? This is my favorite song.
I wouldn't necessarily call it issues, but I feel like I'm not easy to give trust to someone. Same. I feel like people have to really
gain
it. You do have to earn it. And I feel like I'm more of an observer. So I like seeing people in scenarios where they're around my friends, they're around my family, they're around people, they're niggas in general. And I see how they interact. And that tells you so much about who they are. Without them even having to front in front of you, you know what I mean? But so, I'm not about to hand my trust to someone just because you say the right shit.
So let me ask you, what's the best way that somebody's ever approached you and actually won, like it actually like worked for them?
What's the best way they approach me?
Yeah,
I feel like
I'm interested in you.
I don't think it's ever happened where I feel like
it's never it's never just that forward though. I feel like it, for me, it's more. Conversation, like if the I've had conversations with people that whether they be strangers or mutual friends, it usually ends up being mutual friends, a friend of a friend, where it's like, oh, I trust my girls enough to know that the people they fuck with are good ass men, you know what I mean? And we vibe instantly and we can have conversation off bat, and then they tell me, yo, like, I'm for real feeling you. You know what I mean? Then it's, I like that natural connection rather than you come stepping to me and saying, yo, I'm feeling you, or, you know, I want something from you. Because then I'm just like, yeah, I get defensive. I have my guard up instantly because I don't know you. So I have every right to be protective over my peace if I don't know what the fuck you're coming with or your intentions are. So, yeah, I would say the best way someone has stepped to me is really by natural fucking authentic conversation.
Be funny.
You being yourself.
You don't have a sense of humor. I can't even fuck with
even
you.
Even if you corny.
Too goofy, bro.
No, seriously, though, if you can make
shout
me
out
laugh.
Shout out to Kyle.
Yeah. If you can Kyle. If you can make me laugh or you can
funniest dude on earth.
Hey, I tore that nigga up. Two months in a row at Our Bar, bro. Friday and Saturday.
He's supposed to be on a cleanse last week, and that nigga was at Our Bar.
RIP, you know what I'm saying? Because I killed that nigga.
But yeah.
He went in on that. Twitter rapper.
Destroyed him, bro. Oh my God. I told him he was looking at the sun, so he was blind. And the man throws shit, bro.
I cannot. I can't.
I was reading this thread crying in my bed.
Man, you should have saw it like at Our Bar. Like,
really?
Like, he was literally just like, AK-47.
That nigga mentions AK-47s like every other line.
I told him I had him on gun.
You don't
control,
even own
bro.
A gun.
Ali!
I don't even own a gun.
You don't know what you're on, man. Damn. Don't
put
my
niggas in
the
house.
That's my nigga. You already know. You already know.
That's crazy.
That's my nigga.
You trying to set him up, bro. That's fucked up.
Nah. Kyle, okay. Kyle, I seen your AK. You got a gun, nigga. Okay.
Y'all niggas are silly, man.
That's so funny.
But yeah, can we bring back like goofy niggas? Niggas with sense of humor.
Yo, oh my God,
corny niggas.
Not corny niggas, but
I don't want a corny niggas.
Niggas that will make you cry laughing, bro. Like,
listen, if you can make me laugh.
Yeah.
If you can make me laugh off rip.
Well, Eritrean women, we win. We don't ask for much, but all Eritrean women need is a healthy flirt to riff ratio. That's please, what it is. Please. Like, I need you to riff me and clown me like I clown you, but
I'm witty as fuck. If you can keep up with me, it's a wrap.
That's what I mean.
Winning.
That's what I mean. And it's not asking
just
for a lot.
You gotta put some respect on the corny niggas.
First of all, I said I don't want no corny nigga.
Yeah, I'm good on the corny niggas, but
I want a funny man. I just want somebody funny.
And like intellectual men. Yes. Niggas that can make you think.
Teach me something.
Yeah, if you could teach me something make me think outside the box, that's what I need.
Yeah.
But dude, like, I feel like when you know yourself, though, you could really read people. Like, the way I read niggas now is just like, yo, like, and I'm very blunt because I'm not really afraid of you telling me you feel some type of way.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, like, even any nigga that I talk to, I tell him off bat, like, yo, for me, every person I encounter is an experience.
That's how I feel.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I'm going to experience you. If it goes left, it's all love at the end of the day. I won't take it personal.
Thank you for the memories, you know what I mean?
You know what I mean? Like, I appreciate the time, and I'm trying to enjoy my time with you. But
exactly.
I can tell when a nigga has a front up or is trying to be something they're not. I'll straight up tell you, like, yo, why are you doing this shit? Like, I'm going to keep it 100 with you. But you can just really, I feel like people wear their hearts on their sleeve and they tell you exactly who the fuck they are.
They do.
So you know.
You think they're not, but they, by not telling you, you've already told me everything.
Yeah, you look woozy as fuck trying to be somebody that you're not.
Oh, she talking about her chest now.
Yeah. I know niggas that are woozy as hell. Oh,
what's their names?
I won't drop names, but they know that I don't fuck with them no more.
That's crazy.
For that fact, like, just be yourself, bro. Yeah. Even.
And that's the thing, though. People are not accepted as themselves, so they feel like they gotta be somebody else.
That's
be
what
accepted
I mean.
And validated. So
I can't relate.
Yeah, facts.
But that's the thing, though. Like, dudes that have done the work and that are, like, they know themselves.
It's like, bro, that's why I was saying,
you
like,
look more of an outcast to a regular nigga. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but women love that shit, though. You sound
they love the outcast look.
Well, not the outcast look, just like the me not trying to
be somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just me being who I am or whatever.
Because like, women love that shit, bro. Because women are always looking to build with a nigga. You know what I mean? Even if you don't know yourself.
Naturally,
all the way,
though.
Yeah, even if you don't know yourself, at least you're coming to me with your authentic self where I know, like, oh, if this is for me, I'm going to build with you. If it's not, then
put
I'm going to
step.
Put
everything on the
but
table.
If you're coming to me with something that you're not, then we just wasted a shit ton of time on something that
don't waste
that's not even true. Time, you know what I mean? Bro.
We're already moving on borrowed time. Like, I feel like
Billy.
If you come to me and you don't tell me that you got trauma, you don't tell me you got triggers, you don't tell me that you got issues, and I got to find out 3 years in, and I'm like, fuck, I never stood a chance because you're not even willing to work on these things.
Yeah.
And so if you're not actively working through these things, and I got my shit, and I'm not actively working on it, and we're going to be butting heads. So how do you grow from something where it's started off inauthentic to begin
petty.
With?
Yeah,
you start
like
getting
that.
Petty.
We're building on
lies.
Quicksand.
On, exactly.
On lies.
You
know,
literally.
Yeah, lies,
literally.
And the thing is, though, they say, like, a lot of people choose their mate as someone who will validate the idea of who they think they
facts.
Are.
Facts.
Mm.
Please.
You know what I mean?
Say
so
that.
So it's
run,
like you don't necessarily have a type. Mm-hmm. You have an image of what you want,
and
but
the
only in reality you're only looking for someone that's gonna validate who you think you are.
Fact.
If you think, oh, I'm that nigga, I'm a boss, I got money, I got whatever.
You find somebody
whatever
that tells you all
is,
that you want to hear.
Who you think you are? If you find a female that's going to validate that, that's it.
You see, that does nothing for me. I know crowdsourcing my self esteem. Like the shit that makes me interested in somebody is much like what y'all was talking about, like somebody that can teach me something, somebody that, like, I literally enjoy their presence.
Yeah, have a good time with.
You know
how
hard it is to talk to people, bro?
Right.
Like, these women don't be having shit to talk about.
Or
like,
and vice versa.
Period,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, they want to talk
that,
about
though.
Loving hip-hop and shit. I was like, I don't even have cable. So
you feel me?
Like,
you feel me?
About?
Look, oh, did you watch this show? I'm like, I don't watch shows. Some guy told me, what the fuck is up with you? I'm like, because I don't want shows. Nigga, I'm making money.
You feel me?
Yo, I'm making money, but Game of Thrones, y'all.
Game of Thrones, bro. That's
know.
The thing. It all came out.
Y'all know.
We
Game
watched
Thrones,
that shit. I'm still butthurt about that
shows.
Ending.
I be watching shows. Who watches The Office?
I don't watch shows. I just don't got the time.
Yeah, I need somebody whose presence I can enjoy.
Without my phone.
Not only your phone, but just you feeling like you could be yourself. Like, there's no,
I
don't even got to think about what I'm doing around you. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not, like, you're my friend at the end of the day.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're my friend.
Exactly.
Creating companionship, that's the most important thing.
Companionship. Look, you saying all the words and shit tonight, man.
Bro, listen. We have
Urban
these combos. You already know.
That's
listen,
crazy.
We should.
That's like a hater over here.
No. Let's bolster these ideas right now. Unless she's a dictionary. But nah, like there's a misconception of what a relationship should be.
Ooh, talk about it. You about to say some real shit.
Listen, let me drop these gems. But like, to me, I've been married. I've been in,
same.
You know, relationships.
Same.
We've already seen this, you know, before 30.
Bro, it's like, look, I already been married. Like,
you know what I'm saying?
It's been crossed off of my bucket list, you know
period.
What I'm saying?
Oh,
I don't need it again.
Like,
you know what I mean?
I don't want to do that shit again because it was based on wrong intentions. It was
exactly.
based on wrong information and societal ideas of what a relationship should be. And it took over.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm basing it off of who I am as a person.
Exactly.
And bringing another person into my life that's willing to grow with me and my ideas and my ideals and my morals and my values. And if we don't have the same standards or the same ideals, then my nigga's cool.
It's fine, bro. And it's like, people afraid of the friend zone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that you could be in the friend zone, leave the friend zone, and then go back to the friend zone.
Yeah. Whatever. You see what I'm saying? Absolutely. It's like, Brad, doable.
You know, that wasn't it.
I personally don't even believe in the idea of a friend zone. What the fuck does that mean? If a guy is
coming, not crossing boundaries, please understand, I have a friend zone. Stay over there.
If a guy is approaching you, if a guy's approaching you and he's interested in you,
yeah,
I feel like the idea of a female friend zoning you is more so on his ego. Is more he set that standard. He set that, what would we say, that label on your relationship now. Yeah. Because I feel like if a guy...
you're not active on, you know, the sexual counterpart.
Yeah, like if I'm not showing you that I'm interested, whether it be physically, emotionally, mentally, or whatnot. Right,
come on, sis.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense to me. I feel like the idea of friend zone
is... It's your pride.
It is a pride issue. It has nothing to do with you.
If you're just trying to build companionship or whatever, and if that naturally
happens,
then it's your expectations that's really fucking up. Because you thought, oh, because I'm attracted to you or whatever.
Well,
I'm
going to take you on X, Y, and Z dates.
And you said no.
And now you're expecting.
By then, if you know, you're expected to at least, like, give me a kiss or do something to me.
Yeah.
Like, then you've set the standard on, oh, this person's not interested, fuck her. But at the end of the day, the girl could be feeling like, yo, like, I really fucks with this person.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy their company, and I'm trying to grow with them and really, like, learn them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've seen niggas jump. I've jumped out of the friend zone myself. I've seen niggas jump out of friend zones that when a woman's like, yo, this is never going to happen. You see what I'm saying? And
but do you feel like the friend zone was, the standard of friend zone was set by you or the female?
I think it's both.
Really?
Yeah, because it's like, if I'm saying, yo, let's say I'm trying to talk to you. I'm like, yo, I'm interested in you or whatever, blah, blah, blah. You're like, look, nigga, I'm not even attracted to you. So this is never going to happen.
Right.
Whatever. That's you setting the
boundaries. Now, okay, so her telling you her truth right there, where you go with that is where the relationship will go.
And that's my whole point. It's like, all right, you can pick your next move. You can leave or you can live with it. You feel me? But
and just be friends with the person and grow with that person.
Exactly.
And grow into anything.
Women be dang ugly niggas, bro. You see what I'm saying?
I feel like, believe in that. It's beauty is in the spirit, man. That's just gonna fade.
I feel like there really is no ugly nigga. Like, you could have some...
I'm an ugly nigga.
No, hold on. There are niggas that may not be attractive from the jump.
That's an ugly nigga. You feel me? Listen, as the team ugly team captain, I need to put respect on
my population. You're not ugly. No, and that's how they fish, though. So
no,
it's
I'm not fishing. No, I'm not fishing.
Because it'd be like people on Twitter, it'd be like, are you medium ugly? Right.
No, I was ugly, and I just never...
Maybe we were all ugly.
But I'm saying,
at some
I never
point.
Forgot that I was ugly. You feel me? So
but
I
that's just, us, though. That's like we grew up.
I really thought
as
I
fuck.
Look like a duck.
I mean,
no, we all look like some.
You know,
we all look like the
glow. Listen, bro, the glow up was real. Thank the Lord.
I feel like every East African girl has gone through
some type of ugly phase,
a dark time, bro, where we didn't even look human on some road.
She said
and then all this, I'm so serious.
It's dead ass.
It was a dark
real.
Ass time, and I felt like that's where our character was just
built
from.
And that's what I'm saying. That's
from the ashes
I
came a
ugly
sphinx.
Because it's like, bro, listen, I was ugly once. Right. That means I spent a lot of time building up my character. You know what,
that's
I mean?
What I mean?
Like, I have personality. I have a sense of humor. I listen and shit because I'm an ugly.
I think
nigga.
That's how I became who I am too. I was such a tomboy.
Because you're the ugly nigga.
I didn't. Yeah. And all my my friends were boys, and girls were always just like so intimidated by me because I was so aggressive and I played sports and I was tall, and it's like, yo, this bitch is friends with my nigga. Like,
are you like actually good at basketball?
I used to be very good.
I want to see you.
She's
play.
Taller than a lot of niggas in Columbus.
I don't think you can beat me in basketball.
Listen, old man.
That's crazy. I am an old man too. Yeah, my knees be hurting and shit. Yeah, let me chill.
It's
you know, because she'll record it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, every time I'm going up,
my knees
should be creaking.
My knees have not been the same since our bar.
I know you're not talking. I got videos of you with you. On the low low.
I do got stainless steel.
Try
you
going
got
down the stairs and supporting yourself and somebody else, though.
Yeah, that's true.
It's awkward. Well, listen, you're leaving the past in the past. Okay, Mago.
That shit is so
awkward. Yo, I quit drinking. That's it. That's
a wrap
for
me. You're drinking right now, nigga.
This is a wine. It's not liquor.
That's crazy.
The amount of times Malcolm has saved my life, man. That shit crazy.
Don't tell nobody that.
Right, brother.
Oh, man. Oh, shit, man. I know you got...
Shout out to Women's Month.
Please. Yeah. International Women's Month. We are queens. We created
I feel like there's so many queens out there on so many aspects of life, whether it be family, the home, whether it be business, entrepreneurs, whether it be wellness and health and mental health. I feel like women are the most resilient species out there, and we produce, and we are the biggest commodity on earth.
Talk about
natural
it.
Resources. We are create. The yeah. We create life, and we also feel like I feel like what man when women get together and really support each other. Bro. Yo, it's lit. It's real. That's all you need.
Yeah,
I'm not saying we don't need men. I feel like
that's
I'm not.
Say, it's a revolution.
No, I'm not saying that's exactly.
I'm tired of being written out of the agenda, bro. I'm
No. We're not writing you out.
I'm not trying to say that.
But all you need.
But it's all been men for centuries.
I know, but I feel like men. We're trying to see the impact of women getting together and seeing the shift happen. Like I feel like men see it as like, oh,
here's a bunch of bitches together. Talking shit.
Bitches that are supporting each other and they're
that's cute.
And I feel like when men, let's talk about that. When men see women getting together and supporting each other, they automatically, I don't know if it's by nature or just like subconsciously think like, oh, these women hate men and they're just anti-men and they're
we're not
about
man
their
that's
agenda.
Insecurity right there. Man.
That's, but I mean, I feel like that's the norm, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of men feel like, oh, this is, so we go to like a lot of women empowerment.
Yeah, when I sound a feminist, like to your point.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm like, for
I think all men should be feminists. My brothers are all feminists.
I'm a feminist. Yeah. You know 100%.
You know but I feel like that's why we fucks with you, Malcolm. On some real shit, though.
That's the only reason.
Because I feel like you understand.
Do you understand? I don't ever have to explain myself to you.
Yeah.
Like, I've spoken to you on so many different levels. We've never had, like, we always talk about this. We never have water cooler conversations.
Facts.
And it shouldn't be like that, though. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of dudes that I feel like all of the dudes I mess with are like that.
Yeah.
Whether they be friends or romantic or anything, I feel like they're very dynamic. Mm-hmm. Like we don't have to talk about one thing, but I feel like a lot of dudes also get intimidated when they see women that are not against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's corny.
You know what I mean? That shit's mad. No,
bro, I think that shit's beautiful. You know,
it is. And I feel like in some way, women see that and they feel like, oh, I gotta hate on her because she's on her shit.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, oh, I could learn from her and I could actually like...
But that segregation has been taught, especially within the black community.
Yeah. It's all competition at the end of the day.
You feel like people be like hating on you?
Oh, all the fucking time.
Mm.
But that's why I'm so low-key. I don't go to like mixers and shit. We had this conversation
before.
You're
not low-key no more. You gotta
stop
saying
that. Listen, I go to events that my friends curate.
You're friends of every fucking impactor in Columbus.
But the thing is, okay, so how
knowing
are we,
me and me
how
knowing
are we
you
defining,
is different.
How are we defining low key then?
Well, what she said is that, yo, I'm tucked. You don't never see me out nowhere.
Listen, if I was high key, you would have seen me in every fucking event.
Well, I'm just saying this new
I feel like if you know her or anybody we mess with, we're very selective about where we go.
Exactly.
Just because you see us at our bar every weekend doesn't mean we're
I'm not just talking about our bar. I ain't trying to.
Okay, so these other events that I go to, it's either yours or shout out to my boy Speak. Like, it's his things that will be like, yo, come out, support, or I'll go to other.
But you gotta understand, I do a lot of shit in the city.
It's very true. You make me go out to all of them.
Yeah, so I'm saying, so you're not low key.
But I come out and it's like,
you walk into, you're like, you draw attention or whatever. You know what I mean? So you're not low key. That's all I'm trying to say. It's cool. No, man. I had to say, because I'm an introvert for real. I don't like attention. I don't.
Me too. People don't understand that. Or believe that.
But I have to be honest. Is that like as much of an introvert as I innately am, as I naturally am? Like I'm also mad mixy. You feel me? Like,
but it has to be like that because that's the type of avenue we chose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you're not low key. That's all I'm saying. If you can't walk into a room anonymous, you're not low key.
I feel like we're defining low-key differently.
Right, what's your definition?
I feel like being low-key is someone doesn't know your personal life. Outside of...
Who knows me?
Just because you see me
outside of social media, I'm not talking about my name. I'm talking about who knows me on a personal level. Not a lot of people know
Nobody knows what she's doing. Nobody knows what she's...
I'm about. Nobody knows about my
her background, her personal life, like that, unless you're like her anything. Close friend.
That's it.
So I feel like, yeah, I feel so like we're definitely.
Say it's low key?
Yeah, we're yeah. definitely. Yeah, very we're very. Key. I wouldn't say low key, but we're very private.
Yeah, private. That's yeah. the word you're I'm looking private, for. You're not low key. Oh. You know what I mean? Yodi is a public figure. Yodi, I'm not gonna say your last name. Yes, it's very private. People don't know who she is. Yeah. That fair?
That's mm-hmm. fair.
Word.
Yodi, and what is it? Yodi 101.
101. Hey, Instagram, almost faces. Please hit my line.
That's crazy.
I can't. We have other enterprises that are coming out 2020. You don't even know.
Word. Yeah, like what? What do y'all have coming up for the rest of the year as we draw down?
Oh, so we're doing the sip and style. We're going to be doing classes for beginners and professional jewelry makers. Mm. So we're going to be doing a lot of natural stone, crystals. We might actually do a class on repairs too. So like...
Maybe repair.
Yeah, as far as the repairs go, I've met so many people that have been tossing away jewelry, valuable jewelry, because... A link was broken, mm-hmm. and it takes 0.5 seconds to fix.
Yeah, my link broken on this person.
You know what I mean? So I feel like it is important to have that. We're also going to LA in August.
LA?
Yeah, we're going to be doing a show there August 21st.
Okay, no, that's cool.
Yeah. I feel like this year it's all about intentionality. Mm-hmm. Be more intentional about my moves. Rather than doing shows every weekend, it's about making more impactful memories and impactful
impact. I love that word, man.
Hey, man, that's
it is. It is because yeah. I feel like sometimes you can do less and make more of an impact. You don't Absolutely. Have to be busy 24/7.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I'm trying to aspire to inspire.
And that's it. Goes back to the whole entrepreneurship where we were talking about, where it's like we feel like we always got to be on the grind, and that's what I was doing all last year. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was so burnt out, but I tested myself as far as knowing how far I can go. Mm. And now that I know that, I'm in a new year where I feel like, oh, okay, I can do this amount of shows and be this person. But what did I take from all these shows? You know what I mean? After a while, it just becomes one clump of a show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't get the intimacy out of it or anything like that. So this year, it's more about being more selective about my shows, being more intentional. I love doing like one-on-one sessions with people, mm-hmm. like hearing stories, trading stories, like just really like bridging the gap between people rather than always being just business.
Right.
I feel like I add value in so many different ways.
For sure.
Yeah, so that's what's
going on. And Baya the bridge.
Yeah, and Baya is the fucking bridge. I feel like, yeah, I've created a bridge and I love that.
What about you, Miss All Mass Faces? What do you want to be known for more than just being an MUA?
Oh, for sure. I think that's part of the transition of who I am as a person this year is finding... I know what my passion is. My passion is helping people. Mm. I've known that since I was a kid. And I'm so into that. And I'm so into like creating spaces where people feel comfortable and safe. And I've always had a talent in bringing out the vulnerabilities of people. I don't even try. It'd be crazy. Just people just feel like
they can just open up
and tell me their darkest, deepest secret. And I'm an empath, so that really affects me as a person. So I saw in Armana the other day, I was just like, yo, somebody told me this really heavy shit. And I felt like I was like physically ill from that conversation. And so learning to take, you know, a lot of these conversations that people have, you know, entrusted in me, and then creating a space for people to actually use that and heal from it.
Mm.
So I do a lot of mentoring for, you know, inner city kids, for like, you know, some of my friends that do social work and stuff like that. So being a little bit more intentional about that, creating that into the philanthropy aspect of my business.
Mm.
And then I'm doing more speaking engagements, something I used to think was like not even for me, because I know I'm talented with talking to people and engaging with people and then creating relatability, but I never thought it would be something that I would actually, you know, intentionally consider doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you know, I spoke to some students at OU last month, and, you know, the there was a president of some org there that was like, yo, we would love for you to come. And I was being a fucking dickhead on that podium. You know what I'm saying? And it's like other people in there, and I'm like just being myself and having so much, you know, experience in this world, living in so many, you know, circumstances. Like, I feel like these kids have a certain way of tying in my past and their future and figuring out, like, hey, man, like, I kind of feel where she's coming from.
Yeah.
So maybe she is actually talking about some real shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always about, you know, entrepreneurship, you know.
You have any other, like, businesses that you're launching this shit this year?
I am. I don't want to talk about it yet because I don't put that shit in the air. But I'm creating strategies for my business so I can employ a lot more people. Mm. I'm,
money talk, boss talk.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Trey. Yeah. And then I already got a few people on rotation, but now I'm, you know, doing the 1099 and giving people an opportunity to have, like, stable income.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, for me, it's very important to help women. And a lot of the women that work for me are either single moms or women that I know have gone through some shit, and they just happen to be doing the same thing that I'm doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm very intentional about who I'm giving work to.
That's dope.
Yeah. So I'm doing a workshop at the end of the month. My assistant Fatima, who's the fucking dopest human being on this.
Niggas got assistants on here.
Fucking planet.
Yeah.
And she's
here, curating. Levels. There's levels.
You know what I mean? So she's curating this workshop for me so I can, you know, start hiring people and actually employing people on a grander scale and, you know, strategizing my business into bigger than just, you know, one thing. I want to start having more entrepreneurs, like photographers and, like, you know, local boutiques and stuff like that. So that's when we're talking about that cooperative economics. So we're all working together to create more revenue within our economy.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah,
that's why I created ETC.
Like, for, and it's the dopest shit ever. And, like, that's what I love about what you do is you're continuously supporting people you know.
Yeah, and man, because all we got is us. Like, for us, by us, literally. It's not a brand. It's... That's a lifestyle. It's a mantra. You know what I mean? So
it's very true.
Nah, I appreciate you guys, like, sitting down and talking to me. You. Like, this is the reason why, like, Brad, because I was sitting with two, if I can use a cliche.
Don't cry,
Valka. It's my allergies, you know what I mean? But I'm sitting with two boss women over there, and I feel like, you know, a lot of times you only see people either in the professional aspect, and you never see them, like, the personality, behind it, or all you know them is like, oh, that's, you know, Yodi, she's a nigga, you know, well, she's my nigga.
She's a nigga.
That's also true.
Or Armana, that's the homie, you know what I'm saying? But never, like, both or whatever, so I appreciate, like, this spectrum, the range of this conversation or whatever.
I appreciate you having us.
A lot of impact,
you know what I mean? These are conversations be, though, you know what I mean? So, alright, I'm gonna hit the record. Y'all got anything else y'all want to say? Any last things you want to plug?
Follow Embaya on Instagram. Handle is at Embaya Jewelry, EMBUYE Jewelry.
Follow Almas Faces, ALMAZ Faces. And, you know, we're just going to keep continuing to evolve the culture, man.
Word. Niggas.
We created a new lane and called it infrastructure. This is ETC by us. On one hand, you have the archive, a subscription-based curated database and network which contains detailed information on creatives and happenings on an exclusively local level. You have the Creative Consultant Brokerage, a service streaming division which provides holistic solutions for creative individuals and groups. Future forward thinking, we have ETC by AKEYS, our nonprofit division. This awards creatives funding, resources, and assistance to achieve their goals. And here's what it means to be a part of the infrastructure. For creatives, a centralized location that serves as a digital encyclopedia archiving your content and history. A reliable distribution system that connects you with the consumers that want to know what's going on in the creative community. A platform that supports your projects in meaningful and intentional ways. And down the line, access to corporate funding from community partners. For consumers, we offer the answer to the question, what's happening in my city? Who are the people adding to the culture and how can I support? by giving access to special deals and exclusive content and merchandise brought to you with an ease of consumption. To the culture, we offer infrastructure, an organized system that makes navigating the city easier than it's ever been, because telling our story and documenting the narrative of Columbus is important work and we can't do it alone. So tap into local with ETC. Visit us on Instagram at etc.by.us and Twitter at @theetcbyus, or head on over to our newly revamped website at etcbyus.com.